This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What a pleasure to be with you. Great to be along for Sports on a Sunday morning. We're only here until 11:30 as we will have the Browns and the Eagles. Cleveland at Philadelphia, followed by Detroit at Dallas. Bears are playing right now. Chicago taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars in London, and Caleb Williams has two touchdown passes. Tell you what, he's going to be a good one. He's 13 of 16 for 128 yards and two touchdowns, and the Bears lead the Jaguars 14-3. I know that there's a lot of angst in Chicago when it comes to drafting the right quarterback. I think they got a good one here. Have some patience in Caleb Williams. Now, my guy, as I've told you week after week, is Jaden Daniels, the LSU product with Washington. I love that kid. I mean, he runs. He's tough. He's got a nice arm. He's a really good player. We'll do some NFL picks coming up here just before a pregame when the Browns visit the Eagles. But I wanted to start with that, let you know that there's a game going on right now in case you didn't set your fantasy team or did your, you know, your due diligence when it comes to throwing some money around today in Illinois, of course. Eventually in Missouri, we'll get it right. I wanted to say this, too. Can I say something about Bob Costas? I'm sorry to throw you a curveball, but before we talk to Bernie Miklas here at 10:15, we're going to get into the playoffs and the NLCS and ALCS and all the former Cardinals out there having success. But, you know, I don't know why this bothered me so much. Maybe because we are close with Bob here at KMOX. But if you haven't noticed, if you're not on social media, this doesn't pertain to you, I guess. But there's been so much criticism of Bob in his call of the ALDS between the Yankees and Royals that it just kind of saddened me. I hope that that's not how everybody feels. I know that social media has empowered everyone to have a voice and have an opinion. If you don't feel like Bob is calling a game as well as you'd like, or maybe, you know, in his prime as the NBC game of the week, that's one thing. But I just feel like when I was growing up, you know, if we watched the best broadcasters continuing on their careers, you looked at them as legends. I mean, what they gave to the game, what they've given to the industry. Bob Costas may go down as the greatest sportscaster in the history of television in any sport. And on top of that, he may go down as one of the greatest TV talents in the history of the medium. So to hear the criticism of Bob, or just to read it on social media, maybe it's just another reason why I should not be scrolling social media. Twitter especially has been great. I love it. But I don't know. It just kind of brought me down. I mean, nobody is immune to criticism. I mean, everybody can be criticized, but I felt like it went way over the top for somebody that should be respected for what he has done for the game. And someone that certainly, you know, is Bob Costas, for crying out loud. I mean, he was doing the NBC game of the week before any of those players were born. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just something I wanted to say. I mean, you can feel any way that you want, but I grew up where, you know, here in St. Louis, where we look up to our legends and we look up to our greats and we respect the whole body of work and accept that they are who they are. And, you know, anyway, I don't know why that was something that kind of weighed on me the last few days. But I hope that when it's all said and done, that Bob will be looked back on as great at everything that he did, certainly. And I think that that is the case. That said, I mean, the calls from Brian Anderson yesterday on the Guardians and the Tigers were exceptional. I mean, BA is in the prime of his career. He is absolutely phenomenal. Adam Amin calling things on the National League side. Joe Davis, the Dodgers broadcaster, who's now the number one guy on Fox. He sounds great. I mean, it is going to be one heck of an ALCS and NLCS. The Guardians moved on. Lane Thomas, the former Cardinal, hit a grand slam. And the Guardians went on to beat the Tigers 7-3 yesterday. They'll play the Yankees. On the other side, you've got the National League, the Dodgers, and the Mets going at it tonight. So a really good time of year to be a sports fan. I don't know what you NFL people, I don't know how you do it, because I'm an NFL fan to an extent, but not the way I used to be. I used to cover the Rams every single day. I miss those days. Every day I was on top of NFL injuries. I would file reports. I followed the Rams every single day. And those were great days. I mean, today on these Sundays, I would be at an NFL stadium just parking my car and getting ready to walk in there for a noon start, a noon kickoff. Today, I'm a little more of a casual fan. I'll tell you what, I am flat worn out after Saturdays these days. I mean, these college football Saturdays are unbelievable. I mean, yesterday, one after the other. I mean, Illinois winning in overtime over Purdue 50-49. Mizzou game wasn't all that exciting. They won 45-3. But Illinois involved in their game, the Florida-Tennessee game, the LSU-Ole Miss game, the Oregon-Ohio State game was ridiculously fun and crazy with twists and turns and drama and everything on the line. You know, the week before that, Vanderbilt knocks off Alabama. And this time, Alabama barely squeaks by South Carolina. That game gets all dramatic. To me, the NFL just doesn't have that. I mean, you don't have a Vanderbilt beating Alabama in the NFL. If the worst team in the NFL, let's say Carolina, beat the best team in the NFL, let's say the Chiefs, would anybody go, would they tear down the goalpost and run it down the streets of Charlotte? I mean, you know, they're professionals. They talk about it. That's great. Great win. And then they go on to the next week. It's just the emotion of college football is just crazy. So for the college football fans, after a full day like we had yesterday, to get up and be ready for a full day of football, I respect NFL fans who are fans of both, who make it through both days. That's just too much. I'm way more of a casual NFL fan these days. I watch the games for maybe 5-10 minutes at a time, go outside, walk the dogs, check in every once in a while on my fantasy team, maybe catch the Sunday night game, have it on in the background so that, you know, we can have all that fun. I have the games, of course, on KMOX. But, yeah, it is a great time of year. Just a great time of year. The Blues start on Tuesday. College basketball at Chaffetz Arena starting on Friday. And your favorite college basketball team has been practicing and can't wait to play. I just love this time of year. The best sports month of the year to me is October, with March right there. September, very underrated. April. But, man, this month of October, if you're a sports fan, you are just in hog heaven. It's unbelievable. We're going to come back and talk to Bernie Miklas about that and more. We'll talk some Mizzou with him, Cardinals, and anything else in between. And then we have some good stuff lined up, 10:30. Larry Hughes II. Larry Hughes Jr. of the Billikens will be with us. We'll also hear about my conversation with Tom Stillman. We have Bill Muckholt, the head coach of the Lindenwood University Lions. Their hockey team almost beat Wisconsin twice. Beat them on Friday, lost to them yesterday. And Lutz Fan and Steel of City at 11:15. Sports on a Sunday morning leading up to Browns-Eagles on KMOX at 11:30, back after this.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is presented by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
It is indeed, and Bernie Miklas is with us live on KMOX. My friend, I enjoy these moments so much. We don't get to do them all that often, but when we do, they're pretty special. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just glad we're reunited, and I know we're going to be doing another live screen real soon, the four of us. Or the five of us, whatever it is, I can't count anymore. So on KMOX Sports, that'll be great. So looking forward to that as well.
Well, you're right about that. Thanks for the reminder. So we have four of us on tomorrow's live stream. So KMOX Sports, KMOX News, all of our Twitter channels, and, you know, every social media channel there is known to man, plus YouTube, which you have a great YouTube page. Really, really great. We're not copying what you do necessarily. We do, you know, a four-man team. We do this panel where the four of us can just hash out the sports topics of the day. I'm not sure if we're going to do this every day, but it's possible. I mean, it's possible this could blossom into something, but every once in a while, it's fun to get the four of us together. So me, you, Kevin Wheeler, Matt, Pauly, and we'll talk about a bunch of stuff. And some of it you and I are going to do today. By the way, that's going to be streamed live at noon tomorrow on all of those channels. We'll put an alert out there so people can get it. But and I watch these. I want to start with baseball because I watch these games. I love October baseball. Of course, I miss the Cardinals being in it, but I do appreciate October baseball. How do you feel when you see former Cardinals in there? I'm sort of split. I mean, I wanted them to have success here, but I'm happy for Tommy Edman. You know, I'm happy for Lane Thomas. Yeah. Guy belts a grand slam. Lane Thomas, I spent time with him at the Cardinals caravan. Quiet, mellow kid who just had enormous ability, and now you see it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Lane Thomas had 9 RBIs in that series win over Detroit. He's basically the number one reason they won the thing. And how about Luke Weaver becoming all of a sudden this outstanding closer? And again, yeah, he hadn't pitched for the Cardinals for years, but he's still the next Cardinal. And listen, he was part of the Goldschmidt trade, so it's not like we Cardinals fans and media have anything to complain about, but it's good to see Luke Weaver find a role. And it was a lot of credit to the Yankees for using him the way they have. And then with Tommy Edman, I mean, what are you going to say, right? He hadn't played for the Cardinals all year. He's going to be a free agent after next season. He probably wasn't, going to be re-signed. And I'm glad to see him get a chance to be back on that stage. So it's been really interesting to see all these former Cardinals. I mean, that's an understatement, to say the least. And there's still some left. Harrison Bader for the Mets will be in the NLCS. And I'm trying to think if I'm leaving anybody out from the Yankee side. I don't think so. The Yankees, Guardians, that ought to be a fun series as well.
Yeah, and you got Jack Flaherty starting today for the Dodgers in Game 1 of the NLCS. I mean, that's all he ever wanted, I think, was to be in a big moment like that. And here he is in his home state, home area, pitching for the Dodgers. I think that the Dodgers are going to be tough to beat. I love the Mets, fire, and they look like they have fun playing the game, but so do the Dodgers. This is a Dodgers team that has a lot of pressure on it, Bernie, but they don't play like it to me. They look like they're out to win this thing.
Yeah, and thank you. See, I left out an obvious guy, Jack Flaherty. you know what this test is going to show? Talking about the NLCS, we all love to talk about momentum, and a lot of times in the postseason, momentum is a real thing. And it's what Tony La Russa used to describe as lightning strikes. He said you can't judge it like regular season. Somebody gets hit by lightning, where you delivering the lightning strike, and it changes everything. The other team loses confidence, pressure's on. The team that benefits from the lightning strike all of a sudden feels really good, really confident. They're not, nobody can beat us. A great example of that in Cardinals lore is Anthony Reyes out-pitching Justin Verlander in 2006, Game 1 of the World Series. Nobody thought that would happen. That was a lightning strike. And so the Mets have had all kinds of lightning strikes, and I wonder, this is a big, big start for Jack Flaherty, because somebody has got to slow that team down over there, because they're believing nobody can beat him. So can Dave Roberts replicate what he did brilliantly to beat the Padres, which is, turn these games over to the bullpen as ASAP? That's going to be – I mean, to shut the Padres out the final 24 innings of the series – it was incredible managing, but I also wonder whether it's repeatable. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to. And, of course, the Dodgers are all banged up, so that might be a reason to side with the Mets. But what happens if the Mets get, shut down the first couple games or whatever? How would they respond to that? Because they are rolling like a runaway train right now.
Yeah, and I'm fired up for my Mets friends. I know that they haven't won it since, 86? And, you've got the Guardians in there haven't won it since 48. You've got, the Yankees haven't been in the World Series. It's hard to believe since 09. They haven't even been in it. They won it, of course, in 09. And, of course, the Dodgers won, half a championship, I guess, in 2020. But they hadn't won you know, in a full season since 88. So you do have somebody's going to have a massive celebration here. I think that, and I know people don't care about TV ratings, so that's fine. But I do think that for the growth of baseball, you may disagree with this or not, is Yankees-Dodgers is the best series if you want baseball to be back in the everyday conversation of sports fans. I do feel like baseball slipped a little bit. I mean, I know they talk about attendance, they talk about revenue and all of that, but let's be honest with ourselves. The NFL is number one, NBA is number two, and I see a lot of kids wearing soccer jerseys around town, and baseball is thought of as boring and slow, and they keep talking about how to build the younger generation. You want the young generation watching? I think you need Yankees Dodgers. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so, because there's this larger than life aspect to it, and you know, baseball's been doing a good job all season. I read a story my friend Anthony Kasavitz, MLB.com, like a couple weeks ago, about how baseball is actually making gains with younger fans, which is kind of stunning, because the trend had been so ominous that way. And they showed real growth in that area. And, you know, they have to prove that it'll last. But they found some formula. It might be the new rules. It might be the faster pace of games, more speed in the game, stealing bases, more action. So it's really interesting what's happening. But I agree with you, man. History tells us when it comes to TV ratings, and I'm with you, I don't really care. Watch what you want. Tom Ackerman and Bernie Miklas will watch what we want. But I agree. You know, everyone loves to say, including me, I think you too probably through the years, we like to say, oh, man, it'd be great if you have these two underdogs going at it. Well, there's only one underdog left, which is the Guardians. But it'd be great if an underdog got in there. Okay, that's true. It would be great. I love watching that David versus Goliath stuff. I do. But that kind of thing leads to lousy ratings. You know, people like the power. They like the empires. You know, they like the Clash of the Titans and those name brands, those historically prominent franchises going at it. And it is weird to say that, you know, it'll be good for the sport to have the Yankees back in the World Series. They have been there for so long. It's like kind of, it's crazy that they haven't been in a World Series since 2009. So there would be a curiosity factor there about how they would handle things. Because at that point, the pressure will really be on, even more so than usual for the Yankees.
Bernie, what can the Cardinals learn from all of this? The Royals, 106-loss team, make the playoffs and actually look pretty strong until the Yankees knock them off. The Yankees could go on and win this whole thing. You've got, you know, a number of, as we mentioned, former Cardinals out there having success. I mean, how do the Cardinals get back to being one of these October teams that we miss?
I actually think the Guardians set a good example. And before I move forward on that briefly, let me back up briefly. Now, I know some conclusions because, as you know, there's a lot of fans. And, again, fans can do what they want as far as what they believe. You know, it's their money. It's their time. It's their passion. But one of the things I've noticed is that people, you know, are really, really hung up on how much you spend. And my thing has been, my pushback on that in recent years, unfortunately, because I wish it had been different, is I don't really want the Cardinals to spend a lot more because they don't spend the money well. The kind of payroll they had the last couple years, the same type of payroll they had, if you average it out, when they were an incredible team from 2000 through 2015. It's how you spend your money, and it's how you develop your own players. And I don't think that ever changes. Now, that said, I know there will be a lot of Cardinals fans it'll say, well, look at the Yankees. They spend, the Dodgers spend, the Mets spend, you know, and Cleveland's just lucky because they basically won the AL Central intramural tournament, you know. So, well, yeah, you can say that if you want, but history tells us that it's not always about how much you spend. Being smart is the top quality you can have to get yourself in October on a consistent basis. You got to get smart as a baseball operation, as a field operation, the way you choose players, the way you develop players. And when you have room after you develop all those players, then, you know, how smart you are about adding free agents or making trades. I mean, it's a little bit of everything. But to say, you know, it's all about just writing a blank check, it just is, it's an easy thing to say, but I find it to be mostly nonsensical, especially here given the mistakes that have been made.
No doubt. It's very well said, and we'll touch on that a little bit more tomorrow. Let's shift our attention to college football, if you will. I learned nothing about Missouri yesterday. They played UMass. I mean, what else is there? At this point, you know, what do we need to see out of Mizzou? Very good win for Illinois, but concerning that they let a bad Purdue team back into the game. But hey, Illinois is 5-1. Their only loss is to Penn State. I mean, Penn State's going to be ranked third here when it's all over.
I couldn't believe that. I was monitoring the score. I was watching other games. I couldn't believe the Illini had a hold on like that. But hey, they're a tough-minded team, and they showed that yesterday. You don't want to see them, you know, blow a 27-3 lead, but at least they were able to fight back and win it. I'm like you, you know. I'll be honest with you, and I hope Mizzou fans don't hate me because I am a Mizzou fan. But there were so many other good games on yesterday. I watched like five plays of the Mizzou game. I just wasn't interested. And I'm gonna, you know, pardon me for whining again. What is an SEC team doing playing a road game at UMass with 17,000 people in the stands and probably realistically more like 9,000 to 10,000? And there are probably, you know, probably not even that many cars in the parking lot. What is an SEC team doing on the road at UMass? I know all SEC teams schedule easy games, and there's no doubt about that, but they play them at home. You know, they don't go on the road. So I'm like you, man. I didn't learn much. The only thing I did learn, you know, Brady Cook sailed a pass that Luther Burton went up for. It was above his head, and Luther Burden took a wicked shot, and he didn't return to the game, and it looked like there was something going on with his left shoulder or, you know, left arm. So, I pray to the college football gods that their trip to Amherst didn't cost them the services of Luther Burden for a while. I hope it's just a minor thing, but to me, that was the only thing that came out of that game that mattered. What is his status going forward? Because now they dive back into some pretty tough SEC games. You know, they need Luther Burton.
They absolutely do. And, you know, I agree with you. I just was baffled by it. But, you know, it goes back to Jim Stark. It was a home-and-home that they had with him. And they could have bought their way out of it, though, is what
they
I understand. And they never did.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
but
it's kind of silly.
But college football yesterday was great, though.
I mean,
Alabama-South Carolina game was great. The two nighttime games, primetime games, I mean, that Oregon-Ohio State game was epic, and LSU-Ole Miss was epic. I mean, just to be able to watch both those games at the same time, it reminded me how much I love college football Saturdays.
Oh, unbelievable day. I mean, from start to finish, just amazing games, classics. And we are in for a phenomenal college football season with 12 teams making the playoff and a lot of teams believing that they are still in it. That is fun. They got that right.
And, you know, I do like underdogs, and I think Vandy's become a really great story. They, you know, they go to Kentucky and win. They're just adding on victories. I don't know how they lost to Georgia State. But other than that, they've played great football, and I don't think they're a fluke. I think everyone should take them seriously. Not as a playoff team, but just as a team like, okay, well, there's Vandy. Let's circle that. That's a win. I mean, not this year. They're really fun to watch.
Yeah, that might turn out to be one of Missouri's best wins. I mean, it's quality win
That's
for
right.
the Tigers.
That, yeah, know? No doubt. No doubt.
It could
about
end
it.
Up helping them, unbelievably.
No doubt, man. No doubt.
Bernie, appreciate it very much. Always great chatting with you. And again, your visits right here on KMOX are sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. Appreciate you, my friend.
Well, Tom, as always, love it. And I know you're feeling a little under the weather. You got to rally. We got to do that live streaming tomorrow.
Yeah.
KMOX.com, I guess, wherever you want to find it. But at noon, it'll be a good time as always. So you take care of yourself.
Yeah,
get
you
some
can't,
chicken soup.
Can't keep me down for long, that's for sure. Appreciate you, buddy.
See you, buddy. Thank you.
Bernie Miklas with us on KMOX. When we come back, Larry Hughes II. He is a terrific player for Josh Schertz's Billikens team. We'll talk some basketball with him. I'll relay a conversation that I had with Blues Chairman Tom Stillman this morning. We also have Bill Muckholt, the head coach of Lindenwood University Hockey. They pulled off a great win on Friday, beating Wisconsin, and Lutz Fan and Steel of City, plus our NFL picks, all between now and 11:30, right here on KMOX.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Well, you just heard the voice of Josh Schertz right there in our last commercial of the hour, the terrific coach out of Indiana State. And I can say that with certainty because having called Indiana State's games on the Missouri Valley Conference TV network and having seen him at work since he started with the Sycamores, Billiken fans are really going to love what is to come from this SLU team. Their offense, when run at its peak performance, is beautiful to watch. And joining us is a man who comes over from Travis Ford's team. He stays and joins Josh Schertz and the Billikens, and that's Larry Hughes II. Larry, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to talk to you, hear your voice, and I'll tell you what, I really appreciate, like I said, what I see from Josh's teams. What has it been like from your perspective so far?
Yeah, it's been very eye-opening. He's a very, you know, detailed guy, you know, sees the game of basketball in a whole different perspective, which I never kind of looked at it as. So he's taught me a lot just the short amount of time he's been here. And, you know, like you said, his offense is great. Getting wide open shots is always something I love to do. So that's been great. But I've just been learning a lot from his time being here.
And he's quick to point out, too, isn't he, that this team also, his Indiana State team's played good defense. It's not like he's all about running offense. He wants the defense to be top notch, and it has been.
Right. Yeah, the defense is a big part. Bad defense usually leads to bad offense. So you have a good defense, you can get out in transition and push. So defense is a huge part. And we've taken a really big step this summer and this fall with the defensive end. So I think we'll be able to lock down.
Larry, you started all but four games last year. How do you view this season? Do you look at that as a competition? Do you want to be a starter, or are you willing to accept any role they put you in?
Just at nature, I'm a competitor, so I always want to do my best and be out on the floor as much as possible. But I'm willing to play my role, whatever that may be, compliment other guys. I can fit whatever role I need to play this year. I think it'll be a good test these first couple preseason games just to see how guys fit with each other and things like that. So,
yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. The Billikens play this Friday against Rockhurst at Chaffetz Arena.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. I mean, just to see you guys in the uniforms, you got refs, you got a crowd, and
for
see
sure.
This offense firsthand. He's a little bit. Like you said, different from your previous coaches in college or high school, I'm sure, in terms of conditioning and what happens between practices and games. What has that been like for you?
Yeah, it's been different. First, he's not a big yeller. Like I've had, other coaches in the past, even in high school, kind of getting me a little bit. But he's more so, he wants you to think more so than just, just all, intense work. So, he's very, very good about that. He loves to have our time off the court to ourselves. He gives us time to, recover our bodies, make sure we're ready for the next day. It's a daily process with him. So that's the biggest thing is just his relationship with guys and making sure he keeps, the pleasure in basketball. So,
yeah, he's big on the mental side of the game, isn't he? A lot about, thinking about what you're doing, but also just in life in general, being
right.
In a good place. That's what I feel you get from him, don't you?
Yeah, he's a great life teacher. He teaches a lot of life lessons through basketball, but he's always giving us, little bits and pieces of things he's learned in the past of, how life and basketball can work with each other. So he's a great mentor as well.
This is Larry Hughes II, the 6'4 junior guard out of St. Louis. What does that mean to you, Larry, to be a St. Louis kid playing for St. Louis University?
It means the world. Just having my whole family, being able to come to every one of my games, it's a huge blessing to me. My family is my biggest support system, my biggest number one. So, being from St. Louis, helping this team, reach some new heights that they, reached in the past, but, past couple years haven't been able to get to, I think I can play a big role in that, and it'll bring a lot of attention and good vibration to St. Louis as a whole.
Your ability in high school, I remember at CBC, you could really knock down the three. I think you shot like 40% from three your senior year. You can still shoot it quite well. Looking at your numbers from last year, 35.5% from beyond the arc. In his offense, Do you need to be able to cut to the basket just as well as sit outside and shoot the three? Or are you going to be asked to do a lot of different things offensively?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, me being a pretty good shooter, I think that creates gravity. So whether me being spaced out, you know, pulling guys towards me or even cutting to the basket and freeing other guys up, I think I can do both. You know, whatever I'm going to read the defense regardless. So whatever the defense tells me to do, that's what I'll do.
Jimerson told me Swope's one of the quickest players, if not the quickest he's ever seen. I mean, I saw him play in college. That guy's unreal. I mean, what a teammate he is.
Man, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch and play with this year. Just a little time he's been here, he's amazed me with the things he's been able to do with the ball. He's a great point guard, can shoot it really, really well. Like you said, he's very quick. So he's everything you need in a point guard.
Yeah, no doubt. And then Robbie Avila, I know he's dealing with a sprained ankle, but it shouldn't be too long, I wouldn't think, for him to bounce back from that. He's not your classic big man. He can do just about everything. I love the way that offense can run through him when he plays that high post. It's fascinating to watch you all cut around him.
Yeah, he's a great hub for us. Like you said, IQ is extremely high. He knows the offense. He knows where the ball should be going. He knows how to manipulate defenses. He's one-on-one, to be honest with you. Coach likes to call him a unicorn because he can shoot it, he can post up, he can pass, and he's big. So he's a mismatch for everybody.
And you and Kellen Thames and Jimerson, and there are a number of others, obviously, to go along with the Indiana State carryovers in Avila and Swope. I think it makes for a fascinating season. Do you guys talk about expectations for the season? Are you trying to hit a certain goal, or is it like, hey, let's just lace them up on Friday and go from there?
Yeah, we definitely have goals for the season. You know, they always say, you know, new teams put together can't win. So we want to be that exception, winning some big games and, you know, making it to the tournament, winning the A-10, finishing at the top. So, you know, just because we're new group of guys, you know, we don't think that'll hold us back. We want to win as many games as possible this year.
I feel that. I think that there are a lot of people, not that they're doubting you necessarily, I think there are a lot of people that don't know what to make of this team yet because they haven't seen it yet. It's kind of a mystery to everyone. Although they did pick you fourth in the A-10 at Media Day, which is kind of cool. So
we'll
see where that goes. What's it like to play? Final thing, what's it like to play in front of these fans at Chaffetz Arena? And I know, you know, your famous father certainly put SLU on the map the year that he played, and I know that Chaffetz Arena is different, though. It's a college basketball arena. It's on campus, and when that place is rocking, it's pretty special.
Yeah, those nights at Chaffetz are different. Those are one of the most exciting, you know, times of my life, going those games, packed out houses, you know, whether it be Dayton or VC or whoever we're playing that night. It's nothing like it, in my opinion, especially in St. Louis, you know, not having many pro teams as far as basketball goes. So everybody comes to SLU games, and it's live. It's, you know, it's good energy every night. So we want to play hard for the fans and get those wins for the fans this year.
Larry, I'm excited to see you. It's great to see the team back together. There's just nothing like college basketball when it's at its best. And make no mistake about it, SLU's had some great seasons, but I think you're up for something pretty special here. Congratulations on everything you've done up to this point. Have fun this year, and let's see what happens on Friday in that exhibition.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Tom.
Great to talk to Larry Hughes II here on KMOX. We're the home of the Billikens. We will have all of the men's games. We're going to have a good portion of the women's games as well. I'll be calling those, and we'll let you know that schedule when it is completed. Basketball alive and well here in the St. Louis area, and great to have the St. Louis and Larry Hughes II on KMOX. When we come back, I will relay the conversation that I had with Tom Stillman earlier today. I'm not going to play it because I'll reiterate this when we come back from break. I'm very high standards when it comes to audio, and I didn't feel like the phone audio was up to your standards in terms of being able to hear clearly what the chairman had to say. So I will relay our conversation for you, the topics that we covered and what he had to say, but also what the Blues are going to do here in 24-25 could be pretty special. I think maybe temper your expectations a little bit. But could they be a contender for a playoff spot? Absolutely. The home opener is Tuesday. We'll go through the full rundown of what you can expect Tuesday when the Blues open the season. You don't even need a ticket to take in some Blues excitement on Tuesday afternoon. It's all next on KMOX.
Pelicans win! Pelicans win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back. Tom Ackerman with you. Good to be along with you here. Sports on a Sunday morning continues until 11:30. We'll be joined by Bill Muckholt, the head coach of Lindenwood Hockey. They pulled off a stunner, beating number 9 Wisconsin on Friday. We'll be also joined by Lutz Vandensteel, sporting director for City. We'll have our NFL picks. We talked to Bernie Miklas, Larry Hughes II a little earlier this hour about a number of subjects with Bernie. You want to go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. The hockey season is here, folks. The Blues have won 2 out of their first 3 games. They went on the road. They beat Seattle and San Jose. Lost to Vegas. Now they will host the Minnesota Wild. It starts at 6:30 on Tuesday night at Enterprise Center. But you don't even need a ticket to get into their rally. All Blues fans are welcome to Union Station starting at 2:30 in the afternoon on Tuesday. Well, I'll tell you what. If you start at 2:30 on Tuesday, you are going to be feeling very good at 6:30 when you're in your seat for the game. You might want to Uber out of there or to there or both. Union Station is where the rally is going. To get the home schedule started, a lot of special guests to excite the fans. You'll have the broadcasters up there. You're going to have Captain Braden Shen. You're going to have musical performances, all kinds of fun for the kids, Slapshot and Bungee Run inflatables. There'll be appearances from Louie and the Blue Crew, and a lot of Blues partners will be on site as well. And if you have a game ticket, then you can go to Enterprise Center and get the wall calendar giveaway. You want to be in your seats for the opening show, which promises to be a memorable one. I talked to Tom Stillman about that a little while ago. He wouldn't give up the details, but he said, be in your seats at 6:20 and make sure we have some special things lined up for our fans inside the arena at that time. So that should be fantastic. Looking forward to that. I talked to Tom a little while ago, and again, the phone audio I didn't think was great. And you know I have high standards for you. I don't want you to have to strain to listen to something. So I'll just pass along some of the things that he said. One is that when I asked him if he thought the team was a contender, he said, define contender. You know, do I think that we can challenge for a playoff spot? Absolutely. He does still think, and you can tell that he's managing expectations here, he does still think that this team is on the rise. It's young, but it certainly is on the rise. And the other thing that he brought up was the fact that, you know, he likes Philip Broberg a lot. He lit up when I mentioned him. He does think that Braden Shen had a good year of developing as a captain last year, and he expects good things out of him this year. He also, I think, found that what Alex Steen is doing as becoming the next general manager is great growth. He's learning a lot, and he told me he's learning from the master. The respect that Tom Stillman has for Doug Armstrong is immense. And he told me that Steen is learning not just what Armstrong does at the public level, meaning, those are my words, meaning, you know, trades and transactions and all those things that you see, but there's so much that goes on behind the scenes in terms of travel, getting teams where they need to be, all the paperwork, all of that. Steiner is learning that as we speak. And so those would be big things that he'll have to take on when he succeeds Doug Armstrong. The other thing that we talked about was the Bally contract. Bally is going to air 71 regular season Blues games this season. He agreed with me that that's an important thing to pass along because Bally has been in the news so much. He did indicate that Bally could be changing names here in the next couple of weeks, so we'll see what that means exactly. And then finally, we talked about him being a hockey fan and that being a big part of who he is and how much he loves the game, the speed of the game, but also how it teaches teamwork. He found that to be very important. And certainly moving forward, I think the Blues have something special here brewing. That personally, I think that they've done a good job here of being transparent with their fans, telling them what they were trying to do, and moving forward. You can see the reflection in the building. The place is going to be sold out Tuesday. They'll sell out just about every game. And I think they're a good product. And a product that's on the rise. The NHL will have to pay attention. When we come back, Lindenwood Hockey has a good product. Their coach next, plus Lutz Vandensteel on KMOX.
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. It's been a treat to visit with Bernie Miklas, Larry Hughes II, Blues Chairman Tom Stillman over the last hour. And we talked a lot about the Blues. There's some great hockey being played in this area. I'll tell you what, though, in St. Charles, Lindenwood University, you got yourselves a hockey team. On Friday night, the hockey team at Lindenwood, and I know they've already been talked about and people are buzzing about them. I don't know if everybody realizes that they went up to Wisconsin in Madison and beat the number 9 team in the nation. They stunned them 4-2. First time in program history that the Lions have beaten Wisconsin as well as a nationally ranked opponent. And then they went out on Saturday. They almost did it again. They lost 3-2 to Wisconsin in overtime. They fell in OT on a Saturday night as they took on Wisconsin back-to-back days, and they fell to the nationally ranked Badgers in an overtime thriller. But it's got to be a great feeling moving forward for the head coach of Lindenwood University Hockey, and that is Bill Muckalt joining us on KMOX. Bill, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. I don't know if I should be too surprised knowing your history. You were the associate head coach at the University of Michigan up until last year. You bring all this experience, and I have to imagine that with all your new faces, you had a job to have them prepped. They certainly seem to be prepped for a team that you were very familiar with in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing for our team is obviously we have 18 new faces in our program. And just a big thing is we've been working on getting better and a growth mindset. And really the bar for us is to do our best, bring our best every day. And, you know, we just had a plan to go out and execute. And, you know, outside of the locker room, maybe a lot of people didn't give us a chance, but that's okay. You know, it's, when you believe in each other and you play within the structure and you compete and battle hard for each other, good things will happen.
You have a history of helping players get to the NHL, and now here you are at Lindenwood with, of those 18 players, how many are freshmen and how many are out of the portal, about half and half?
Yeah, so we had 9 incoming freshmen and then another 9 from the transfer portal. So we've kind of got a little bit of a blend, but 18 new faces from last year's roster.
And you have a program that Lindenwood, I want to ask why and how it came about that you went to Lindenwood. What attracted you to that job?
I think first and foremost, our athletic director, Jason Coomer, had really good conversations with him when I came down and I met with the leadership team and Dr. Porter and saw the resources and Centene Ice Center and just really got to see the area and the vision of what it could be here as we grow this program and take it to hopefully a nationally recognized program. But all the resources that were here, I think it's a beautiful campus, and I really enjoyed getting to know some of the staff that was here, Mark Abney and Jack Combs as well.
This is Bill Muckalt. He's the head coach at Lindenwood University. Going back to your days in Michigan, and you were a starter there. You were part of those two national championship teams. My friend Bobby Gassoff, great Wolverine, and I know with Red Berenson running things there, what a program that was. What did you learn as a hockey player at the University of Michigan?
Yeah, just so much. I mean, Red was such a tremendous leader. I think freshman year, we didn't even really talk to him. By junior year, he was asking me what plays we'd like to run on the power player, who'd you want to play with. So just a tremendous leader. You know, the big thing from Red, I think, it's not just about being a hockey player. It's about, you know, taking advantage of the academics, giving back in the community, being a leader and best in the community, you know, and giving back to the game. And then thirdly, you know, you want to continue to get better, and those are the three pieces that you really take from Red, and I think that's the one thing why you've had so many people go through there and be successful inside hockey and more importantly outside of it and in the communities.
This is a 5-year veteran in the NHL, Bill Muckalt, who is now the head coach at Lindenwood University. Do you have any players that stand out to you, Bill, that help get wins like that and nearly back-to-back wins against Wisconsin, or is that truly a team effort across the board?
Well, we talk about it, the team, and we're only as strong as our weakest link, but some guys that stood out, I think, you know, Owen Bartoszkiewicz, and that was fantastic. Gave us a chance to win both nights. Ethan Zilke up front, Dave Gagnon, Christoph Papp. I thought Jaden Mercier was fantastic, scored a couple goals. On the back end, Artie Borshev kind of iced, got the fourth goal on Friday night, but he's just a workhorse for us and a leader in the room. Aiden Yakimchuk, you know, Jack Anderson was phenomenal, made some big plays. I thought Joe Prouty was just a warrior out there. He's going to give you everything he's got. He certainly has everybody's attention in practice. He's full go, and that type of intensity in practice, it makes others better, and it makes our team better.
Absolutely. Nearly pulled off a second win against Wisconsin, and they had to score with 18 seconds left off a broken play in overtime. The Badgers won it 3-2, but Lindenwood beat them 4-2 the day before. Looking at your schedule, I see that you have games, a home series against Ohio State in particular, November 15th and 16th, that are of interest. You're going to have, for folks just to understand, it's a great place to see a game, and $7 tickets to that home series. $7 tickets. So you can actually catch the Lions using the coupon code Hear Us Roar through tomorrow for an offer at the LU box office. Again, that is for Ohio State. Those don't happen until November. That is a Friday, Saturday, but obviously they want to pack that place, and that would be at the Centene Community Ice Center, which is located in Maryland Heights. Until then, you got a bunch of road games, Air Force, Miami, Robert Morris, Denver. Oh, boy, they're good. You'll be busy.
Yeah, no question. The good news is we don't have to all play them all in one day. It's just, you know, our mentality be one shift, one game at a time, but yeah, we'll be a little bit on the road here, but that's good. It'll be a good opportunity for us to bond and keep getting closer as a team. And you know, we're showing we can play well on the road, and the rink's the same size. So looking forward to getting after it against Air Force Friday night.
It should be fun. Well, I enjoy Lindenwood, what they offer to the area in D1 athletics, and no doubt the hockey team is going to get a lot of attention now after splitting with Wisconsin, the ninth-ranked team in the nation, over the weekend. Bill Muckalt, the head coach, thanks for coming on KMOX to talk about the Lions.
My pleasure, Tom.
Thank you. LUBoxOffice.com to get those tickets. We'll be back in just a moment. Lutz Vandensteel, sporting director for St. Louis City SC, is next.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. As always, it is a pleasure to visit with the sporting director for St. Louis City SC, Lutz Vandensteel. They're going to wrap up their season coming up this weekend, the 19th, when they go up to Minnesota, as they've already closed out the home portion of their schedule. Good morning, Lutz.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great. You are going to be on the road on the 19th. So how has this last week been for you? Did you take any time off, or was this a full 2 weeks of practice and preparation?
No, not much off. We gave the players a few days off, you know, over the weekend, and I went to Germany to look at a few things, came back. Yesterday we played a friendly against our second team, so it was City 1 against City 2. And this week now, full preparation. You know, we want to have a good way of closing out the season against a team which is at the moment in great form. I think they won basically everything in the recent weeks. They really had a good transfer window as well. So it's a nice challenge for us to go into probably coldish Minnesota and then play against a hot team, you know, so it could be an interesting one for us.
No, no doubt. They're currently seventh in the West, 49 points, a record of 14 wins, 7 draws, 12 losses. City, which moved ahead of Sporting KC and is 6 points ahead of Sporting KC after a couple of very nice wins over KC and over Houston, is sitting there near the bottom of the West, but as we've talked about many times, there's a lot of focus on the future. I know we talk about this a lot, Lutz, but summarize, if you would, why you feel so optimistic about this organization moving forward.
Yeah, I think first, you know, we want to close the season on a high note. We still can catch Dallas and Austin if we win our game. Yeah, that's still a possibility. So, you know, that's what we're going for. Yeah, why are we optimistic? I think looking at the last 8-9 games, I think we can be very optimistic. We had 4 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses, which would put us in the table, probably into the top 4. We made lots of changes, and I think, you know, looking also into what happened last season with tremendous injury crisis, playing on one position, the centre-back, 10 different players, that's the uncontrollable things which normally, touch wood, not happening every season. So if you talk again exactly next year at this time, Tom, and I tell you the same thing, then I'm the unluckiest man on the planet, so I don't think that is the case. So I'm really looking forward to actually, you know, get the team even closer together. The potential you saw now in some of the players who are here already now since 2.5 years, but also in some of the players who just came a few months ago, I think that gives us a lot of opportunities when not just get defensively better, but we manage to create chances, we manage to score a lot of goals, and I think we're playing against some really attractive football, which I think it's very important for our fans to go to City Park and enjoy themselves, to see action, to see goals, to see, you know, see a hard-working team, an honest playing football team, and all that recent weeks and the recent month gave me personally the feeling that we are on a very good way. And we are ready for 25, but we still need to adjust one or two little tweaks here and there to have a squad and a team which I feel to reach our goal for next year, which is without any doubt a comfortable playoff position.
I know that you will encourage your players to take some time off their feet. Do you do that, Lutz? I mean, do you take a little time away? I know what a relentless worker you are in terms of scouting and putting the team together. Do you allow yourself a mental break?
Well, I don't need a break, you know. I'm good without it, but I think for the players it's important that they have another a good maybe 7 to 10 days after the season to still train and be together and still work, and then slowly going on the personal training plans back home to also spend time with the families, to go over the festive season and then come back with fresh legs and a fresh mind, but already with a good level of fitness where, you know, we're having a good team of coaches who works individually with the players also when they overseas with different kind of GPSs, where you know exactly what they're doing, when we can prove things literally on the a little bit. It's a little bit like distance, a long distance relationship, you know what I mean? So you still can be very close to the players even when they are gone, and see exactly what they're up to. That's an important point for us to be ready in January when we start to train again.
Well, it is important. You guys are a unit, and you have to be able to, because the off season is short, have to be able to get back together in winter and get after this thing. I don't think I've talked to you about the U.S. men's national team coming to City Park. Does that excite you? Is that a good thing for the area?
Yeah, that's a great thing for Missouri, for the city of St. Louis, for all the football fans here, you know. We still have some great playoff games coming up for our City 2 team, but then in November, having the U.S. men's national team here, you know, a cherry on the top. They won yesterday against Panama 2-0, played a decent game. So I think they definitely want to come here and show their best face and show their best team when they're coming to St. Louis. The new coach as well, a big name, is Pochettino. I know that's a guy who coached world-class teams. So I think that's also a step in the right direction to the World Cup. So that St. Louis be again part of the history. Pochettino coaches here and, you know, getting prepared for the next games and for the new year. I think it's a great event, kind of closing out the football season before, or the soccer season, sorry, I have to say it this way, the soccer season before everybody goes into the winter sleep.
You can say football with us. Of course, we understand that. Appreciate you so much. Good luck to City 2, no doubt about it. And good luck to City coming up on Saturday the 19th at Minnesota. That'll be an 8 o'clock start on Y98 if you want to catch it on TV. It's on Apple TV, the MLS Season Pass. And before you know it, they'll be right back starting the 25 season. Lutz Vandensteel, always kind to join us. We appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your day.
Have a nice Sunday. We'll talk next week. Thanks, Tom.
Yes, sir. Always good to catch up with Lutz. Lutz Vandensteel, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC, to get his thoughts during what had been an off week. Now time to ramp it up again as they take on Minnesota this coming Saturday. Well, it is week 6 in the NFL. When we come back, we will give you our picks against the spread for what is to come for this Sunday. We have two games on KMOX, the Browns at the Eagles, followed by the Lions at the Cowboys. I'll give you my picks for both. There is a game already underway, the Bears and the Jaguars, and it has been all Chicago in this one. Caleb Williams has gone absolutely nuts in this game. We'll tell you what he did coming up next on KMOX.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Now from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're going to take you up until 11:30 pregame between the Browns and the Eagles. Let me give you a score right now going on in London. They've hit the two-minute warning, and the Bears all over the Jaguars, 35-16. Caleb Williams, I told you, he's going to be a good one, 23 of 29 passing, 226 yards and four touchdowns. I know it's the Jaguars. I know they've struggled this year, but you want good quarterback play, Chicago. You're going to get it out of Caleb Williams. Give him time. He's going to find people. DeAndre Swift, 17 carries for 91 yards and a touchdown. A good day for Caleb Williams as the Bears are about to close out a win over the Jaguars, 35-16. Let's take a look at our picks for this coming Week 6. Here we go. Arizona and Green Bay. You know what? Actually, let's start with the game on KMOX. Let's give the KMOX game some love. And that's Cleveland at Philadelphia. Now, at first glance, this looked to me like an absolute blowout. I felt like the Eagles, like if you were doing your lock of the week, which I understand these locks of the week pools have been absolutely bananas. Teams have been upsetting people, and it's been a total mess. If you're still alive, I would take the Eagles today as my lock, but 8.5 points against a desperate Browns team. I see this thing at 8.5 or 9. I'm going to go with the 8.5 point spread. That's what I have in front of me. I've seen it both ways. If you get it 8.5 or 9, either way, I'm taking the Browns and the points. I think the Browns are going to make this a closer game than people think. The other noon games today, Arizona at Green Bay. The Cardinals are a 5.5 point dog at Lambeau, and as good as the Cardinals have seemed to be here and there lately, and they just won a game at San Francisco, let's not forget they got absolutely crushed by the Commanders the week before that. I got the Packers -5.5 today. Indianapolis at Tennessee. The Titans at home are 2.5 point favorites. Titans trounce Miami before a bye week. The Colts, meanwhile, have been so hot and cold. They won a couple of games, and they lost to Jacksonville. I'm going to say they bounce back today. I'm going to take the Colts +2.5 against the Titans today. Houston at New England. This, to me, feels like a Houston win, and I think they cover as well on the road. I like this Houston team. I'm going to take them -6 at New England. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. The Bucs are a 3.5 point favorite. I don't like that. I'm going to go Saints +3.5 at home against the Bucs. Washington at Baltimore to wrap up the noon games, a battle of D.C. I'll go with the Commanders and my man Jaden Daniels in a shootout. They'll lose the game, but they'll cover the 7-point spread at Baltimore. I'm in love with this Commanders team at the moment. I like the way they play. The 3:05 games. Chargers at Denver. Denver a 3-point dog at home. I'm going to take them +3. Pittsburgh at Vegas. I actually love the Steelers on the road here. I think the place will be rocking with Steelers fans who have been hanging around all weekend. -3. Detroit at Dallas on KMOX. Give me the Cowboys. No, I take that back. Cowboys are so unpredictable. I'm going to go with the Lions. It's a safer play. -3.5. Atlanta and Carolina, the 3:25 game there. I'll go with the Falcons, -6 at Carolina. Giants are going to lose this game, and they're not going to cover. Bengals, -3.5 against the Giants. Buffalo covers, -1.5 at the Jets on Monday Night Football. Folks, thanks for joining us. This has been Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. Thanks to our producer, Drew Young. Thanks to Bernie Miklas. Thanks to Larry Hughes II and Tom Stillman and Bill Muckold and Lutz Fannin Steele and our team of people at KMOX, including Scott Jagow, for giving us our news. We thank you for being with us this shortened version of Sports on a Sunday Morning. Coming up at 11:30 right now, it's the Browns at the Eagles, and it'll be followed by the Lions and Cowboys on KMOX.